Stephen Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how much wealth is really possible buying undervalued land.
Well, do we just put a picture of where we live on there? Just kidding.
That's actually a good point. Well, we're not here to talk about Jill and I.
How about this?
It's going to seep in.
I'll put a picture of some of our community members where they live on there.
Even better.
I will put a picture. Actually, one of our members posted a photo on social media of the brand new pickup truck that he bought himself to drive around and look at the property in the Dallas area. And you know who you are as I'm talking about you. I thought that was really darn cool. And he's, you know, really been very vocal about sharing that. Yeah. And he did it. He's a dad with young kids and did it methodically.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm, methodically and carefully. And, you know, and is not like, he's not like running a Ferrari.
It's Justin.
Yes. And doing it the right way. And you, so anyway, so that's thing. So yeah, we'd say this all the time. Don't listen to us. Go talk to our people that are really doing this. And there's hundreds of them that you can talk to in our online community. And
if you have any questions, if you're a listener, and you have any questions about whether this is true or not, go onto the landacademy.com online community. I built the site myself because I was so tired of answering these questions.
Yeah.
Like, what did you guys smoke today that you can sit there on the show like this and talk about how easy it is? Don't believe me.
Right.
Go to landacademy.com on the online community there in the resources and ask that question.
Yeah.
Is this a pile of malarkey or not?
Malarkey.
Is it easy? Is it hard? How long does it take? Actually, that's kind of what the show's about.
Yeah.
What's really possible?
Well, good. Let's get to that. You just covered it, Stephen. So there's where you can go do a question in right now. And it's free, by the way. Right now, I'm going to answer one that Merritt put in there. Okay, so Merritt asks, undoubtedly this question has been raised somewhere on the forums, but I'm having trouble finding specific answers.
Oh, this is good.
Has anyone had experience with terms deals, defaults, in California? I've seen it talked about in some threads, and that land lease options were the way to go versus land contracts, as depending on the state, utilizing land contracts for terms deals may necessitate going through an expensive, lengthy, and formal foreclosure process in the advent of a default. Obviously, one would want to reclaim the land for resale as quickly and as inexpensively as possible in the event the buyer stops paying. Any advice here, aside from running through a California attorney? Thanks for your thoughts, Merritt.
So this is the age-old question of, if I sell a property on terms, should I use a land contract, which is a back-of-a-bar napkin agreement, which is what we do, or should I do a deed of trust? And depending on the state that you're in, there's laws that govern both of these very strictly. And there's some states, New Mexico, and other states that, to my knowledge, have no rules whatsoever. Although the deed in lieu of foreclosure, the deed of trust situation, is very consistent in my experience through lots of states. So to directly answer your question, Merritt, you need to look up the statutes of California because they change all the time, which is why I'm not directly answering your question because my information is more than 2 years old about California, and find out which way to do this. I will tell you this, and here's the value that Jill and I are bringing to this question. Plan for a default.
Mm-hmm.
The default
it's
rate. Yeah, that's my point. Mm-hmm. That was my roundabout way of saying it, because it's going to happen.
I'll help you.
In fact, most of the time, in fact, probably 9 times out of 10, when we have, this is one of the reasons we sell property for cash.
I have something funny to say about this.
Buy for cash and sell for cash. 9 times out of 10, when a buyer says, you know what, I'm done paying, have a nice life, Jill says, you know what, I'm going to deed you the property. You paid for it, doubled our money on the down payment. You've been paying us for 3 years. I know the contract says you've got to pay for 7. You know, I'm going to deed you the property. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We've all done well here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how these terms deals end for us. They don't end in someone paying it off for 22 years or whatever. It's not a mortgage situation. So set yourself up for that.
I just had this conversation with one of our staff members. I'm like, all right, who do we even have that's still paying, you know, kind of thing? And it's funny how few there are, We're like, and there was one that was in there for quite a few years, really consistently, great property, and they're gone.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, that guy, I said, and I was, so then we were having a discussion. I said, so we have a meeting planned for that later this week, right? I said, all right, let's sit down and talk about and look at it. I said, he might have paid enough that I'm just going to send him the deed, you know, because I do, I'm like, he paid enough. It's good. It's covered. I don't need to, I don't really, it's all good.
I bought a couple hundred properties really early in my career. This is when I was still working at a full-time job as an investment banker, doing this on the side, and I sold a set of six of those properties in Arizona to somebody. And we did it because I was so new, I didn't know any better. I did it as a deed in lieu of foreclosure, mm-hmm. you know, a deed of trust through First American Title. And about 3 months ago, I got the letter that said, this person just paid this off. This is 20 years ago.
Right.
So that'll tell you. I mean, and that's the only one that's ever, that's the only
one that's
only,
followed through all the
yeah.
way.
It's the only one that's ever, according to the deal terms, I mean, I didn't even calculate what I made on that. I probably made, I don't know, $45,000, $50,000 at $200 payments.
Well, on the flip side, I'm sure you were going to probably cover this is some people's business model. They count on it making a year or two of payments. It's been paid off for, you know, a good year or so. Usually, a lot of our people in our community, they find themselves the down payment is paying for the property, and then the terms payments are gravy. So then and that's their whole thing. They know that the person's going to default, and all they do is turn around and sell it again. That's their thing. I'm just like, it's one of these properties. They're like, I'm just going to keep it in my system and keep reselling it. Like, okay.
Take a look in your garage or your basement or your closet. If there's just stuff everywhere and it's a disaster and it's a mess and you can't park in there and you can't fit any more clothes in your closet or your basement's just, you have to wade through it. You're a terms person. You collect property. You never want to let it go. It kills you.
I never thought of that. That's hilarious.
Or the back seat of your car, too. I can speak for both of us. We don't have a basement. There's nothing in our garage except two cars and two surfboards.
Yeah.
Jill's closet, actually, you could eat off the floor in there. In fact, part of it's not even a closet. It's just, it's so perfect.
Thank you.
And we're cash people.
We are. You're right. That's funny. You're right. That was a really good perception that you had. I'm impressed.
My little sister, bless her heart, can't get in her basement or her garage, and she accumulates property, and she's her landlord.
That one of the reasons she doesn't want to move?
She loves it, yes.
Ah.
Yep.
Got it. Point made.
I'm thinking about my sister's basement, and I lost my way.
I got it.
Today's topic, how much wealth is actually possible to accumulate buying undervalued land? This is the meat of the show.
Is there any such thing as too much wealth?
My mom used to say, is there any such thing as being too skinny or having too much money?
No. Well, maybe too skinny.
I know. When you think about it, it's like when you start, your initial thought on that is like, no, I want $22 billion and I want to be stick thin.
Yeah.
But then you think about it, it's like, $22 billion is too much. And being unhealthily, so your age and your logic kicks in.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how much wealth you can actually accumulate. Let's do some math.
Oh, good. My favorite.
I teach a class. Jill and I teach a class once in a while to college students. It's the last class that they take before they graduate to becoming an MBA. So they're like mentally checked out, which is perfect for us because then we can talk about silly stuff. And I use the Arizona or the Southwest 40-acre example of wealth accumulation. Here it is. Jill and I, for years, and we still do, buy 40-acre properties for $4,000 all over the Southwest. And we sell them for $8,000, sometimes more now, $8,000 to $12,000. But let's just use $8,000. So let's say you take $4,000, you buy one of these properties, you double your money, now you've got $8,000. You double your money again, now you've got $16,000. $32,000. $64,000. And on and on and on. And I'll tell you, if you do that once a month, because you got the marketing machine going and the same thing that we do, because you listen to what we said in the Land Academy program, it doesn't take long to accumulate enough wealth so you can pay all your bills off. That's stage one. Mm-hmm. These are my stages of wealth here. get debt free. Yeah. Stage two, have something going on the side, a real estate business on the side while you have your regular job to pay your regular bills. And at some point, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and say, my regular job is costing me money. And then stage three is you're rolling along in that side business full time now, and then piling equity on top of equity on top of equity until you hit your financial goal, if that actually ever happens.
I remember step two, by the way. I was going to talk about that because one of the greatest feelings on the planet is when you realize you've crossed over that threshold where you're making so much money now that being busy at your day job is costing you money.
Yeah.
It's the best thing on the planet. And that's one of the things, we haven't talked about that in a while, is that we talk to our new members too, like, don't do that too soon. You really want to wait. You want it to be so darn ridiculous, staring you in the face that you go, I should have done this a year ago. Then you know it's the right time. You don't want to jump ship. You don't want to say, this is the thing that I've heard people do, and it scares the heck out of me. All right, I'm in between jobs. Now's the time I'm going to do this. No, you're not. That's not the right thing to do.
If you have to do that, like if some kind of weird life circumstance gets thrown, you get laid off, and after you really dramatically cut your expenses down to as low as it'll go.
And you live in your mom's basement.
Like Dave Ramsey now. Once you've cut everything out of your life, I mean, that's absolutely not necessary, and you're eating ramen noodles and stuff. You can do this.
It's still better.
If you have the right kind of personality for it. But if you want to do it the right way, I mean, I'll tell you how I did it. I had a fantastic mid six digit job as an investment banker. I had this real estate thing on the side. I had $560,000 on my checking account, and I just went to a tax auction and bought enough property to make $700,000.
Right.
That's when I walked in and sat down and with the guy that owned the company and said, what would you do for me?
Exactly.
And I gave him all the numbers.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, you got to get out of here.
Totally.
And it was pretty easy. Uh-huh. The decision was made for me.
Oh yeah.
I didn't have to do it.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you this. That wasn't, for me personally, half as exciting as crossing over step one.
Really?
Debt free.
Yeah.
When you get debt free, man, your life is, and I'm talking about mortgage debt free. I'm talking about debt free.
I know.
Where you're paying utility bills and insurance.
Food. Yeah. You know what's sad is how many people really walk around this planet that never get there.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I bet the number is.
What do you think then? What the reason for that is? And this is not on the topic here, but this is helpful.
I think it's sometimes it's keeping up with the Joneses that people think that they should be walking around like that.
I think it's kids.
Kids are expensive. That's true. I know some people too that if they have the money though, they're in the mindset that then there's some weird quirkinesses. Maybe that's it. There's a small percentage that go, well, why would I pay cash for the house? Then I can't write off the mortgage interest. So I should keep that money in the bank and apply it towards other things.
If you're smart enough to have that thought, then you're smart enough to get crazy wealthy.
It's true.
If you're thinking about tax write-offs and tax manipulation, not manipulation, but
all manipulation.
Using tax rules to your benefit. Let's put it that way. You're a bright person.
Right.
Exactly. Anyways, we've covered stage one and two. Let's talk about stage three here.
Okay, right.
How much wealth is actually possible buying property? This is the meat of the show. It's limitless. That's the answer.
Were you doing the numbers?
Oh, I was doing the numbers. So, yeah, we got. Yes, I am doing the numbers. So, I mean, you can, when you use the 40-acre example, and you're doubling your money as you go, and your bills are getting paid with your regular job, you're going to, like I said in my example, it's not going to be long before you have several hundred thousand bucks in the bank. We're skipping along the top here and giving you a 35,000 foot view, but that's what the show is about. It's not about the nitty gritty details. Mm-hmm. You want the nitty gritty details on how to do this? Go to landacademy.com and ask the people that have just done it. They're 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 months ahead of you, and they'll tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. They'll say, oh yeah, we listened to the show too. We signed up and we did 5 or 6 deals. We made a bunch of money, but what they don't tell you is, and then fill in the blank, because it's different for everybody. You need to do your own deeds. Some people can't handle that.
Got to answer phones.
Some people love that.
Right.
You have to answer your phone. Some people hate that. Some people love it.
You got to keep track of your properties. You got to learn how to post property. Got to get the pictures.
And if you're that very special kind of person who is not bothered by doing the details to get where you want to go, mm-hmm. then you really should actually go do that.
Exactly.
That's how we are.
Exactly. It's, for some reason, it's hard for people to think about. So here's what I run into. When we're talking big numbers, people's eyes gloss over. But when you're talking realistic small numbers.
Like what? Like, this is good.
So this is a conversation that I often have. People are, you know, we talk to them. One of their concerns is, I don't have any money to be doing this. I have $5,000. I can afford the education. I can afford doing some data, getting some mailers out. I'm going to have a couple $1,000s to invest in properties. Should I put it all into one? I'm like, well, number one, no. Put it into, do a couple. We don't want to put all our money in one egg, one basket there. So if you have, say you have $3,000 to spend on property, you know, buy six properties at $500 a piece, you know, that way. Double. So this is what the real conversations that I have. Six properties, you spent $500. You sell them for $1,500. We're not crazy. This is easy. These are small numbers. People can put all that on a credit card. Now your $3,000 is $9,000. Look at that. Let's do that again. Now we're at $18,000. Oh, okay. Because we just did that much more money and spread it out. Now we're, you know, pretty soon now we're at $36,000. We're maybe, I don't know, months into this.
6 months, let's say, realistically.
Okay, 6 months. You're doing it slowly and methodically. I love it. And now we got $37,000 in there. I'm like, huh, now I can make some different decisions. Maybe I'm going to buy properties in the $10,000 range.
Infill lots,
right?
Is what I would say there.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to buy three properties.
Three infill lots
at $10,000 each.
Sell okay, for that's 20 each.
Exactly. Now my 30 is 60. Ooh, okay.
This is a good
with only
story.
Three properties, by the way. That
great
was three transactions. This is not crazy. So, and then you go, all right, and I say, do it again. And now you're at $100,000. Okay. And
now the wheels are turning.
Right.
So the real value of the story, I'm sorry, you're done?
I guess I am.
No, go ahead.
No, just kidding.
The real value in Jill's eloquent story, it was she picked off where I left off and finished it, which is... It's good for me. The real value in this story is that this person realized that it's possible. Uh-huh. It works. They've tested it. They spent a year, let's say, accumulating $100,000 in equity from $2,000 or $4,000, $5,000 uh-huh. of their own money. They didn't lend it, and they learned the business. They learned how to buy and sell property. Uh-huh. Now, you shift it into second or third gear.
Right.
And you take $100,000 or $50,000. And, you know, you buy property that's higher in value and you sell it for more. Mm-hmm. And that's where the title of the show comes in. How much can you really possibly, what's really possible? What you learned is how to buy undervalued real estate. Forget about the money piece. Mm-hmm. So now you're sending mailers out to, I don't know, ranches in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. We have a member who purchased a ranch in Oklahoma without any of his own money and made like $400,000 or $500,000. Because he knew how to buy it.
That's
because
it.
He learned how to do it on these $400,000 and $500,000 and $800 deals. Mm-hmm. And he pulled the right people in. Because this guy is older and he happened to know some people with a lot of dough.
And it's not so hard when you have a track record.
The concept's
now.
The same.
Yeah.
And
you
that,
can show
so
people.
You do that 5 or 6 times a year. Now you're talking about making $5 or $6 million a year for,
you know,
not a lot of work.
And the deal speaks for itself. Actually, say you find this asset, it's a no brainer. Everybody can look up with you and you could see, look, I've got this under contract for this. I need this much money to close it, and we're going to sell it for this. Who's in? Every single person is going to raise their hand.
Right. I've done some huge deals, huge land deals where we made a ton of money, and I don't prefer those kinds of deals. I've done commercial real estate, hospital deals, mm-hmm. hundreds of millions of dollars. There's a lot of people involved and a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. My favorite deal on the planet is to buy a piece of property and make $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 on it cash, mm-hmm. and to do multiple deals like that a week.
Right.
That really, really adds up. Houses and single family residences and land. Infill lots.
Right. Exactly.
And it just runs like clockwork. You're flying under everybody's radar. You know, I'm a little bit older, so that the big pounding your chest element of doing a big real estate deal doesn't, it's all out of my system. What's so funny?
What's not out of your system?
It's out of my system.
What's not out of your system? That's what I want to know. What's still left on your bucket list for professional, your professional bucket list, Jack, Steven?
Not a lot. Really, there's not much.
Seriously, I'm curious. Do you have nothing left in your professional bucket list?
I mean, we have enough money. It's not that. I don't know. You know, really what's on my list is to help other people do this. Cool. Honestly. What's on yours?
Mick, I want to actually, publishing.
Yeah, so yeah, there's no, like, there's not any more real estate deals.
True, it's not, nothing's money related.
It's not real estate driven.
That's it. So this is what happens. So what happens is you get to the end, you got what you needed. Sometimes it's less than you think that you need, which I thought was very interesting. And then, because it's so true, everybody says this, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But you pass a certain threshold financially, where it doesn't matter. Yeah. And adding another zero, you think it's going to change your life, and it doesn't. You're like, I don't really care at this point.
And then
it's like, now what do I want to do? Which is really good. And now I do. I have some other personal, professional goals, but they're not money related.
Yeah, I mean, I have those same goals, Jill. I've half written 3 books, and those will all get done.
Exactly.
I want to do that.
I do too.
And I love teaching. I love what we're doing here with the Land Academy, House Academy, and
I hope people do that. You know, that's the thing for us, that you don't. Our charity stuff is kind of, I don't broadcast it, if you will. There's that goes on, but it's more about what we do, helping people get their selves out of debt and making money and sleeping well at night, you know, doing this stuff. That's even better. That's cool.
You know what? It's just, it comes down to this. When I really learned how to do this at the end, I'm like, you know what? I'm so tired of talking to people who just don't understand how easy this can be.
I know.
I'm like, and then finally you and I decided we're going to do something about it.
Yeah.
So we created Land Academy, and now it turned into House Academy, which is eventually going to turn into 2 other programs that we're doing. So
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 22 minutes with us listening to the Land Academy show. Join us tomorrow for another episode of the show called The 3 Biggest Roadblocks in Creating Real Estate Wealth that I actually see all the time.
And we answer your questions, should you have one, posted on our free online community found at landacademy.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This has to be helping somebody.
I'm sure it is. It's hard to imagine sometimes.
A lot of people are listening to the show. I wonder how many people. I mean, our numbers are actually pretty staggering for the show. I wonder who's like really just sitting there going, man, I'm going to do this. I mean, this is not a commercial. Like, I can just see, if I were a lot younger listening to this, I'd be like, man, these people are not
joking
around.
You paint the picture like you're 80. You're not 80.
No, I know.
Why do you do that?
No, I just mean, because young men are very, very, very impressionable at a certain age.
Okay.
And if I would've
30.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Under 25.
Ah, okay, thank you.
And older men who have maybe forced to take career paths that they didn't really necessarily want to take. My message to both of those groups of people are, it's just go do it then.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is not hard. You just got to get the crap in the mail.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.